my prayer this morning is that the Lord will bless you through the preaching of His Word as much as He's already blessed me by being here. Your song service, I tell you, is wonderful. One of the messages, in trying to find what the Lord would have me preach on, one of the messages that I looked over was, Praise Ye the Lord. Well, I don't think y'all needed that message this morning, y'all. Y'all praise the Lord. Your singing was just a blessing to me, I tell you. It was like every heart and voice was in union, praising our God. And Jerry's song was just so appropriate. How great is our God. And I pray He'll bless His Word this morning as much as He has the service so far. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 18 again, and you can mark that because we're going to spend a good bit of time there. But as soon as you find that, turn back to the book of Lamentations, and I want to read you the verse from which my message finds its text. So mark Luke 18, and then turn back to Lamentations 1. Lamentations 1. And Lamentations 1, verse 12, that's between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Lamentations 1. If you read with me verse 12 of Lamentations 1, it says, Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. And if you went on and read the rest of this chapter, what you'd find out that, and I've heard this verse preached from numerous times, and it is right to make the application. Now, what's being said here is that the way of salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. And what it's saying here is it nothing to you who pass by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and behold His suffering? Is it nothing to you? Well, it's everything to His people. Because we know that through His shed blood, our sin is covered. And that through His righteousness, we have a righteousness of our own. And that's all, when we pass by the cross, that's what we see. We see our Lord in all His glory there doing for us what we can't do for ourselves in the putting away of our sin and in giving us His righteousness as our substitute there. And it's right to preach that. But I saw something recently in this verse which Scripture is bifocal or trifocal. I recently have gone from, one set of glasses, but... These kind that I start here, and I go to here, and then I go to here. I go, they just get, the further I tilt, the more they magnify. So Scripture, the more you look, the more it'll magnify Christ. There's not any one interpretation, as long as all the interpretations glorify Christ. So what I want you to do here is stay with me and I'll show you what I saw that I think the Lord would have us look at. There are two center references in my Bible concerning this verse. The first of which says, Is it nothing to you? And my center reference says, It's a statement. It is nothing. It is nothing. And the second reference says, Pass by. And my Bible says, Pass by the way. Now that ought to ring just a little bell. Even though this was written hundreds of years before John 14:6 was written, you know it without even looking it up, don't you? You know John 14:6. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know that by heart, don't you? Do you think it's just a coincidence or an accident that our Lord spoke those words when, in fact, back here, a person reading this in the Hebrew language would have read it, It is nothing to you that pass by the way. He's saying, and here's how this can be read and how I want you to hear it this morning. Is Christ nothing to you? That's what it's saying there. Is he nothing to you? Is he nothing to me? Because the title of this message is that the Lord Jesus Christ is everything. He's everything. But the question I want us to ask ourselves this morning is he nothing to me? Is he nothing to you? That's exactly what's being asked here. Is the Lord Jesus Christ nothing to you? Now, let me tell you, I may shock you here because there's not many absolutes in our society today. There's all these gray areas. Let me tell you, in God's Word, there's no gray areas. Christ is either everything or he's nothing to you and to me. It's that simple. He is everything or he's nothing. In fact, the word gray, you know the only way it's used in the Bible? It's talking about the color of the hair of the aged. That's the only way. In the Scripture, all these in-betweens are the inventions of men. Men say, oh yeah, I believe Christ was a good man. He was a good example. You know what that is? That's between everything and nothing. And God has no part of that. Let me tell you, he is either everything to you, or if you think he was a good example, well, he's nothing to you. He's either everything to you, or if you think, oh, well, I believe he lived, and I believe he died, and I believe that, he's nothing to you. He is either everything or he's nothing. The Scripture, it's either light or it's darkness. There's no gray. Not in the Scriptures. Gray is not there. It's either light or it's darkness. In the Scripture, there's either sight or there's blindness. There's either hearing or you're deaf. You're either light or your darkness. You're either hot or you're cold. Our Lord said, I despise your lukewarmness. These people trying to hedge their bets, you know. Listen, you young people need to understand, when it comes to the law, when it comes to the matters of God, there's no in-between. When they give you, I hear people say about all manner of things, do you use drugs? Well, not really. I smoke a little marijuana, maybe. Now, if they give you a drug test, does the test reveal he smokes a little marijuana, but he really doesn't do drugs? No, it says you either don't use them or you do. You understand? And you young people need to understand. You take a drink. The cop doesn't say, did you have a lot? No, the test says he was drinking. You either are or you aren't. You understand? You're either hot or you're cold. There's no in-between. And I understand. The problem is that I understand in our society, folks get away with things. You know what I mean? A fella murders his ex-wife and her boyfriend, and there's not enough evidence. Even though the odds are the DNA was 999,000 out of a million, that it was his. We had extenuating circumstances. Let me tell you, according to God, it's either innocent or it's guilty. Do we see that? And Christ is either everything or he's nothing. There is love and there is hate. Don't let somebody tell you that God's Word says, Jacob have I loved, and Esau I loved a little less. It's a funny kind of love sends a man to hell, isn't it? Huh? Yeah. Was it plastered across the back of the ark? God loves you a little less. No, sirree. God, I tell you, those in the ark knew God's love. Those outside knew his wrath. And Christ is either going to be everything or he's nothing. Absolutely nothing. No in between. And God demands that Christ is everything, that he's all in all. Does it say in the Scriptures, well, God would like for you to give Christ the preeminence? Or, you should give Christ the preeminence. Does it say Christ might have the preeminence? Is that what it says? No, the Scripture says Christ must have the preeminence. He must be everything or he will be nothing to you. There is no in between. Now, you look at Psalm Psalm 58 for a minute. And here, the first point of my message is this. By nature, Christ is nothing to all of us. To all men, Christ is nothing by nature. By nature, Christ means nothing. We value Him as nothing. Christ is the way, and we regard by nature His way as no way at all. We don't want any part of that way. We want our own way is what we want. We don't want to have anything to do with His way. We want to go our own way. We'd rather be lost. You ladies, I bet there's not a lady in here that's been married to a man that doesn't know what I'm going to be telling you about here right now. When my son was a freshman in high school, we went to this basketball game on a Saturday morning in Lawrence County, Kentucky. A new high school, nobody knew how to get there. But I was fortunate that I happened to come up on the back end of the athletic director whose son was on the team, and I followed him right to the school. But as the game got started, parents kept straggling in, and every wife was mad as a hornet at her husband. You know why? He wouldn't stop and ask for directions. Wouldn't do it. And the truth of that is, they all got to talking about it and laughing about it at halftime. And you know, the truth of the matter is, we'd rather be lost than ask directions. We'd rather be lost than found. I mean, all we got to do is stop and say, where's the high school? Go down here a mile, make a right, go two blocks, and it's right there. Oh, no, not us guys. No, sirree. I'd rather be lost than ask somebody. You understand? That's our nature. We'd rather go our way than His way. Even knowing His way. All you got to do is ask, and Paul will tell you the way. Everybody in this town, Paul, wouldn't you be thrilled to tell somebody the way? Tell them about Christ? Is anybody asking? No, folks would rather be lost than found. It's our nature. We're blind, just like our father Adam. In Psalm 58, it tells us what's wrong here. Psalm 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray. We're lost as soon as we're born, speaking lies. That's how we're born, lost. We're not born thinking Christ is everything and then we get to messing up and get out here and all of a sudden He's nothing. No, we're born believing that Christ is nothing to us. He's just not anything to us. His way doesn't mean anything to us by nature. We're blind. Does it not say in Isaiah 53, all we, not some of us, all we like sheep have gone astray. That's because that's how we're born. Not the way, our way. And look at Isaiah 1 with me real quick. Isaiah chapter 1. You see, when Adam fell, he lost all sense of value. And we all are just like our father Adam. Sin has left us without concept of value. Sin has left us to where, you know what? Rather than light, we like darkness. Rather than hearing, we like being deaf. How many of you young people, when your mom or dad tries to instruct you, you don't want to hear it, do you? You know it's right. That's what irritates you so much, isn't it? Huh? When somebody tries to tell us what's right, we don't want to hear it. It makes us angry. Why is that? That's because we've gone astray. By nature, we like the wrong way instead of the right way. We like sickness better than health. We like death better than life. Look here in Isaiah 1, verse 5. Why should we be stricken anymore? You children, how many of you want to go home today and get a whipping? I don't see a hand in the bunch. Well, you don't want to get stricken, do you? You don't want to get that. Well, all you have to do is do what your parents tell you to. But you know what? Somebody's probably going to get one today. Because we just can't help it, can we? Even though we know when mom or dad says, just go clean up your room, that if we don't do it, we're going to get what we deserve, aren't we? We're going to get a little spanking or get a talking to anyway, right? So why don't we just go do it? You know why? Right here it tells us, look at the rest of the verse here. It says, you will revolt more and more. You sure will. Yep. Because the whole head is sick. And the whole heart is faint. When we're born from the sole of our feet to the top of head, there's no goodness in us. There's no right way of thinking. We're always going the wrong way. And that's our problem. That's why we got to understand by nature, We don't come into this world thinking, God is good. Christ is everything. We come in thinking, who needs that? I'm not interested in why is it hard? I mean, there's not a man, young or old, in here today, I suspect, who, if he has any interest at all, isn't going to want to be watching the Super Bowl this afternoon. Okay? Well, why don't the whole world's that way? Well, why aren't they interested in being in church this morning? Why aren't they interested in hearing the gospel this morning? That it's simple. Football's everything. Not Christ. No. Christ is nothing, you see. Especially stacked up against the big game. Understand, it's just our nature. We don't look at them and go, well, you know, they're... No, we're just like them. The only reason we're any different is by the grace of God. But we've got to understand that by nature, left alone, all of us, when given a choice, will choose the wrong way. It's why election's important, folks. If God didn't choose us, we never would choose Him. I'm telling you. We have no sense of worth or values. And let me drive this point home if I can. Recently, I was when I'm on traveling, a lot of places I stay, they give you a USA Today newspaper. They slip it by your door or on the doorknob there. And I'll look at it sometimes. And recently, there was this little survey where they asked if you were rich. Okay, and they asked these people who had net incomes of $250,000 a year, or they had $2.5 million in net worth. Now, what that means is that if you took everything they had and sold it and then paid all their debts, the pile of money they'd have left is $2.5 million. That'd fill up a suitcase, wouldn't it? Huh? Okay, now that's who we're talking to. They ask these people that question. You've got $2.5 million. Let's say it's right here in a suitcase. All right. What are different things worth to you? Well, they said, what would you give out of that $2.5 million to be president of the United States? Probably not a nickel today, but on the other hand, you know what they said? They said $55,000. I don't much blame them. It's a pretty rotten job, best I can tell. It's hard, isn't it? Being tough right now. The respect of the office has been besmirched to the point where who would want to? Yeah. So $55,000. But listen to the rest of these things. If you can have great beauty. Well, they said, well, we can give $83,000 for that. And they said, eternal youth. Uh-oh now. $259,000 they'd give for that. What about talent? Up to $285,000. Great intelligence. $407,000. True love. $487,000. You know what they'd pay more for than anything? A place in heaven. And you know what the price is? They would give $640,000 for a place in heaven. Now, I'll bet somebody's out there thinking, wow, man, they must really want to go there. That's a lot of money, $640,000. Well, let me get this in perspective for you if I can. Now, most of us have never had a pile of money, $2.5 million. I can't even imagine that sum. Can you? I mean, you gotta do a lot of work on cars to get that, Sam, don't you? You gotta do a lot of work to get that kind. You probably won't get that much in a lifetime. But I tell you what, I bet everybody in this room, from the kids on down, has had $2.50 in your pocket, haven't you? Well, now, what if I said to you, you got $2.50 staying there. What part of that would you give to go to heaven? And you said, $0.64. Let me tell you what you just told me. You just told me heaven doesn't mean a whole lot to you. Because I tell you what, anything short of the $2.50, you know what you're telling me? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I cringe to think what the response would have been had the question been phrased just a little differently. If the question had been, what would you give to go be with Christ, with the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm afraid, I guess some might have given a pittance or something. And listen, understandably, people who think heaven is this paradise of eternal happiness and they're going to get all the stuff they always wanted and so on and so forth, I understand somebody saying, oh, I'd give a lot to go there. But if it were phrased, what would you give to go be with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's no matter what it's like? I'm afraid we'd have gotten a whole lot closer to the truth, which is nothing. Nothing. But anything short of the 2.5 million, all of it. Anybody who said, I'll give it all, Christ is everything to them. Anything short of that, $2,499,099, it's nothing to you. It's nothing to you. And that proves the point, my first point. All men by nature, Christ is nothing. But now the second point is that Christ should be everything to all men. That's what he ought to be. Listen to who he is. Who is he anyway? What is it about him that makes him worth something to us? He's the Son of God. His name is Emmanuel, which is God with us. If you're with him, God's with you. Christ is Jesus, the Savior. He'll save his people. Christ is holy. Christ is righteous. Christ is almighty, all-powerful. He's sovereign. He's ruler of the whole creation. He's love. He's peace. He's goodness. He's mercy. He's grace. Sherry said, how great thou art! That's who he is. Well, is he nothing to you? Huh? What's he done? He's God who was born of a woman to identify with us. He's righteous. He has a righteousness. He allowed himself to be tried and crucified and buried for sins he didn't commit. He sits now at God's right hand, and by his Spirit he calls out his people. Well, who are they? Who are these people? He's going to do that. You know who they are? Those who think he's everything. And anything short of that, he's nothing to you. Now, let me ask this. I just told you who he is and what he did. I'll bet you that if I asked, and this is not a criticism because I don't think I could do it. If I asked somebody, I gave you 5 seconds to tell me what the book chapter and verse was of your message last Sunday morning. Anybody got it yet? I know why you don't. You know why? By nature, that's all nothing to us. On the other hand, I suspect most of us could tell me, anybody who played sports, you could tell me what the score of the last football game is you played in high school. You know why? That stuff's everything to us by nature. And if we're not careful, now listen, you know, we sit here every message and we hear who he is, what he's done, why he did it, where he is now. And you know what? If we're not careful, it just gets to be nothing to us again. That old man in us doesn't make us hunger after that like it does a Super Bowl or something. Do you understand what I mean? He is everything to us. Everything to us. And it's just by his grace that he doesn't become nothing to us. Because that's our nature. That's our nature. What is it that we need that Christ does not provide? I made a list of some things we need. Well, when we appear before God's judgment, you know what we need? We need a righteousness. We need that, don't we? Yeah. We have none of our own, and by nature we have none. But Christ lived and established a righteousness, so if we have Christ, we got everything we need, and that count, don't we? The second thing we need is we need to have something done about our sin. It needs to be put away. Well, eternity is apparently not long enough for us to die and put it away ourselves. But Christ, being the Son of God, when he died, he was able to put away sin. The sin of all those who are in him. So if we're in him, we got everything, don't we? There's nothing we need there. You say, boy, I need food at my table. We're moving into another area now. So I need food at my table. Well, let me ask you, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? I believe that's enough to make a hamburger for us this afternoon. I believe that's everything I need. I believe that'll keep me fed the rest of my days. You say, well, I got a lot of expenses. Well, the gold and silver, it's not yet mine, it's his. Sounds like enough to me. Had a lady as an elder. Sometimes folks call us and talk about things. Had a lady say she was, her situation had changed a lot, and she's going to need some money. She didn't know what she was going to do. And I said, well, you know your brothers and sisters in Christ are not going to let you do without. And the right thing to do is let your brethren know so that they can do for you if you have need. In any way, wouldn't you be thrilled to do for somebody you knew needed something? Huh? And I said, well, what about next month? I said, don't you think God's able to make your boss give you a raise if you need it? I mean, the heart of the king's in the hand of the Lord. Yeah, he's everything. So the rest of this is just nothing. You know? You say, well, I got to have clothes. That's true. Well, does not Christ clothe the lily of the valley? You think he can't whip up a garment? He's everything we need in that regard. And you can get down to any level you want. You can say, I just wish I had a little peace of mind. Well, don't we think the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace, is able to give us a little peace of mind if that's what we need? He's everything. You say, well, I'm so distressed. I'm heartbroken. I need a little comfort. Christ is the God of all comfort. He's everything we need. And you can go bring up the topic. Doesn't matter. Christ is everything. So you see, not only by nature is he nothing to us, but the truth is, he ought to be everything to everybody. He is. He is. That's the reason when he says, that's the reason when Moses says, who should I tell your people sent me? He said, you tell them I am. Well, most of us think that's not a complete sentence. That's because you can put anything you want on the end of that. You say, I need a righteousness. He says, I am thy righteousness. So now, I need my sin put away. I am Jesus. I shall save my people. He can say, I'm in trouble. I am thy comfort. I am, just put whatever you need on. He's everything. We see that? Yeah. But now here's the third thing, and here's where we get down to it. Christ is nothing by nature to all of us. He ought to be everything to all of us. And here's the issue. What is he to you? What is he to me? I remember the time when he was nothing to me. And we ought to all remember that time. Because if he never was nothing to us, he's not now everything to us. We've got to understand where we came from before we know where we are. Christ, is he nothing to you or me, or is he everything? And if we think we can get what we need by ourselves, now listen to me, whatever it is, good works, righteousness, forgiveness of sin, money, lands, clothes, goods, riches, if we think we can get what we need by some other way than the way, some other way than by Christ, let me tell you, when we do that, we make Christ nothing. He's nothing to us. The key is that to you and I, being in Christ, is to realize that we are nothing. We're the one who's nothing. It's not him. He's everything. We're nothing. I am nothing. Christ is everything. And we must confess who we are and who Christ is. And the example of that is in the scripture that Stan read in Luke 18. Do you see the comparison that's made there between the two men? The one man came. The one man came, and what did he say? He said, oh, I thank God I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I'm somebody. I'm somebody. And you know what? That man went away condemned of God. Because he thought he was somebody. He didn't realize he was nothing. On the other hand, this other man came, and he thought he was such a nothing, he wouldn't even raise his eyes. He wouldn't even come down front the way they're urging everybody to. He stood afar off, and he knew he was so empty, he smote on his own breast. And he said, oh God, be merciful to me, the nothing, the sinner. He admitted, I'm a low-down, lying, cussing, thieving, stinking skunk. Nothing. And now, what happened to that man? Christ said, he went home justified. Because in his saying, I'm nothing, he's saying, Christ is my everything. See, the Pharisee came and said, I can do this for myself. I can be my everything before God. I can make my own righteousness. I can be without sin. I'm going to go before God. Said, oh, when you arrive, I'm going to tell you, you're nothing. And dispatch you. I'm going to burn up that philosophy. Whew. But the man who came, I need mercy. Well, who was his mercy? The Lord Jesus Christ. It was everything he needed. Mercy. You see that? How did all this happen? Christ, who is everything, including mercy, had mercy aplenty to bestow on this man. The child of God must come to the place of believing in the heart that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Everything. Righteousness, forgiveness, holiness, goodness, love, peace, contentment, mercy, grace. All that's in Christ. Everything is in Him. Everything is in Him.